hard for us. Let me share with you a little bit from my own life. I grew up in the church, and I think my story is probably pretty similar to that of many people who have grown up as Christians in America today. In my early life, I always had a strong Christian community around me. When I was very young, my family went to a little country church. It was my grandparents' church, and the folks there, they loved to spend time with one another. I remember they would, after church on Sunday mornings, they would spend lots of time visiting with one another, and we kids, we'd go off to the side lot or the parking lot or something, and we'd just play games while the adults all hung out and talked for way too long when you're 5 years old, okay? For all I know, it could have been 5 minutes, but they spent a lot of time together. I remember that. They would get together for meals and potlucks. You know, I remember Christmas pageants they would get together to put on, or vacation Bible schools and things like that. That was good. Well, my family moved when I was in the second grade, and we had a new church family in a new place, but I continued to have that experience of Christian community. It was still good for me. You know, I was part of a youth group growing up and was friends with lots of other Christian teenagers. That was good for me. I found my own sort of niche in that congregation where I could serve. I had a real excitement for things technological, and so I learned to run the soundboard, audio, for the worship band in church. And so I got to be part of that, and I spent a lot of time in that Christian community. Now, that changed for me, like it did for many people that I know today, when I graduated high school. I went to college. And it wasn't like I all of a sudden, decided church was unimportant, and it wasn't like my faith didn't matter to me anymore, but moving away to college meant that I no longer had a community of Christians around me. That thing that had kind of built up over years as part of a church, well, it was gone now. I had to set up a new one, but I wasn't too good at doing that. Without that community of friends and mentors around me, it suddenly got a lot harder to stay connected with the church. And, you know, it was the little things that made a difference. It really was. Things like the fact that my friends, the ones I had in the dorms, they liked to stay up late on Saturday and play video games, and so I usually did too, and they slept in late on Sundays, and so I really tried to wake up on Sunday morning, but often it didn't happen. Little things. The church I attended in college, you know, there really wasn't anyone there that I just looked forward to seeing every week. I never got that connected, and so that made it hard. I didn't have that driving me, even for no other reason, just to go see someone that I enjoyed being around. And so for all intents and purposes, I was kind of trying to live that Christian life all on my own. All on my own. And, well, it just didn't work. I was trying to follow Jesus without a community of believers around me, and it didn't work. Now, I still knew who Jesus was. I believed the right things. But I wasn't living and growing in faith the way God wants us to. And if there's anything that our scripture reading shows us today, it shows us the value of being part of a Christian community. It shows us how we're meant to learn and to grow and to live in community, even though those people aren't perfect, right? Even though those people sometimes can hurt us. Now, think back again to your own experience with Christian community. Maybe you've had an overall good experience with the church. Mine was. But then you've had a time in your life where you just didn't have the fellowship and support of other Christians due to whatever circumstance. And you tried to live the Christian life on your own, and it probably just didn't work. Or maybe you've had bad experiences with the church before, and maybe those experiences even drove you away from other believers. And the same thing happens. You end up trying to live that Christian life on your own, and it just doesn't work. But our scripture reading shows us what happens in the midst of a healthy community. You might have noticed our scripture reading, if you were here last week, it overlaps some with what we read last week. But we did that because the portion we're focusing on today, which is the last portion, verses 42 to the end, where we read about the community of the early church, that community is a direct consequence of what Peter's saying just before it. And so remember what's happened. This is still the day of Pentecost we're talking about. And so there's believers, the Christians have been given the Holy Spirit, and then they have spoken in many languages all together. There's about 120 of them. They go out into the crowds, these giant crowds who've come to Jerusalem for the festival of Pentecost, and they share the good news of Jesus in many, many languages. And this is like a divine gift. It's not something they're doing on their own. And the Christians are sharing this good news of Jesus with everyone, and the crowd is confused. They say they don't know what's going on. So Peter gets up, he stands up, and he tells them. He gives a long speech about Jesus, and the verse we started with today, that's Peter's point. That's what he wants everyone to remember and take home to say, this is like the punchline. This is what he wants everyone to understand and see. And so he says, here's the point, therefore let all Israel be assured of this, God has made this Jesus whom you crucified, both Lord and Messiah. He's saying Jesus is the promised one. Jesus is the one who's come to save God's people. And the people ask, well, what do we do? And the way forward is pretty simple. Peter says, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. A few verses further on, verse 41, we see that the people did so. Those who accepted his message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to their number that day. Now pause and think for a moment. That morning when those disciples woke up, they did not have 3,000 disciples around them. The morning when they woke up, they had about 120 disciples gathered together. That Jesus movement they were part of, that was a pretty small thing. On the day of Pentecost, God's word went out. The Holy Spirit did his work, and 3,000 people were added to their number that day. That's 25 times the number of disciples they had that morning. And, I mean, you can imagine going from a group about this size, you can look around, a group about this size to one that would, I don't know, fill, I don't know how much of the Colosseum. How many does the Colosseum hold? A whole lot, but a big chunk of it, right? That's a huge difference. And so these new Christians, what was next for them? Well, let's take a look. The first thing they did, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. That's the same 3,000 people. And so the most important aspect of these new believers' lives of faith is their community, their life together, the fellowship they have with other Christians. And so they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. Yes, that's true that what we believe as Christians is what sets us apart. It makes us who we are as Christians. They devoted themselves to fellowship. To fellowship. That's the community they lived with other Christians. They devoted themselves to the breaking of bread. That's more community, including probably their celebration of the Lord's Supper. And they devoted themselves to prayer. That's living in their new relationship with God. And so the early church, and this is about as early as you can get here on the day of Pentecost, their very first concern when the Holy Spirit multiplied the size of their group by 25 times, and everything is changing, everything is up in the air, and you're like, what do we do now? Their very first concern is community. And they were serious about it. We can read through the next few verses and see what they did for one another. The believers stayed together and they shared all that they had. They sold their property and possessions to give to those who had need. Every day they got together at the temple to teach and to learn. They ate together. This is kind of an aside, but it's interesting. Over and over we see in the early church how important food tended to be to their gatherings. And I think there's probably a reason why churches today are known for meals and potlucks and things like that. So they ate together. And what's the result of all this? Verse 48, they were praising God. They were enjoying the favor of all the people, and the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. And all of these things happen in the context of a Christian community. The believers took care of those in need. They lived their lives together. They knew one another. They grew in faith as they praised the Lord. And the people around them were even saying good things about these Christians, which is a pretty different from most of the experience for the early church. And the Lord was daily adding to their numbers. Now, I don't know about you, but I think that sounds like it'd be a pretty exciting church to be part of, right? And it happened with two things, just two things. The first was the word of God. That's so important because the good news of Jesus Christ really is that it's what separates us as a congregation. It's what separates us from being like a social club, right? So we have the word of God. That is so important. We have that good news that, you know, we may be sinful. We may be distant from God all on our own. We may hurt one another. But Jesus gave his life on the cross, and he rose again to forgive you and me. He died and rose to reconcile you and me with God the Father, and Jesus even died and rose to bring us together as the people of God. That's the good news. That's what makes us Christian. And the second thing that the early church had going for them was this Christian community. As they learned to live out today what Jesus had already won for them on the cross. They had this Christian community. As they learned to live out today what they knew Jesus was going to accomplish in full and for our good on the last day. As they learned to live out today what it looks like to have renewed lives. As they learned to live out today what it looks like to have right relationships with one another and with God. And so they took their community seriously. They lived with one another. They cared for one another. They learned and grew in faith together. And that active community bound them together as the people of God. And it's not that they never had problems, by the way. This is just a few short verses, and it's easy to say, hey, this is like all the good stuff. And this is all the good stuff that was happening. But those early Christians, you know, they did not always get along, okay? They did not always have just everyone's happy sort of experience of the Christian community. And later in the book of Acts, we see the early Christians having to work through new problems, new questions raised by following Jesus and their new life together. And they argued sometimes. They fought. In Paul's letters to different churches, we often see that he had to correct the churches he was writing to. And he says, hey, you guys aren't treating each other right in this way or that way, one way or another. And so there's early Christians. You know, they weren't perfect people. They were just like us in many ways. And they took their life together seriously because that is the context in which their faith was practiced, and they were blessed because of it. And so how can we today take this Christian community really seriously as those early Christians did? Well, you know, I'm not going to say, in case you're thinking this, I'm not going to say that these few verses in the center, verses 45, 46, 47, or excuse me, 44 to 46, I'm not going to say that those are like a blueprint for Christian community from then until the end of time. You know, we don't need to give up all we have and go live in a commune somewhere in order to really follow Jesus. And in fact, Christians have tried that at different times, and it usually doesn't work. We don't need to sell all we have and pool the money together. That's what they did. We're glad they did that, but that's not necessarily what we have to do today. But we can ask ourselves. We can ask ourselves this, and this is, you know, for you to like ask yourself personally right now. You know, ask yourself, can you honestly say that you've devoted yourself to God's word? And some of us are probably doing better with that, and some are probably not doing so well with that. That's where we're at. Can you say that you seek fellowship with other believers? Some of us are doing that more and some are doing less. When's the last time that you broke bread in your homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts? Some of us probably do that more often and some probably do less. Have you helped out someone in need lately? Another thing they were doing. Some of us probably do that more often, some less. You know, the things that we do to live in community, they're not difficult to do. Eating with people, helping out someone you see in need, paying attention to the people around you. They're not hard to do, but they do require discipline. They require attention. So pay attention to the people around you. Care about them. Eat together every now and then. Maybe look around, see someone you say, oh, hey, I like that person. Let's get dinner sometime. Something like that. It's not that hard. These simple actions are the ways that relationships grow. These simple actions are the way that we actually become kind of bound together in a community together. It's how we turn from a bunch of individual Christians kind of wanting to follow Jesus. It's what turns us from that into a congregation, into a family of believers, into a bunch of people who are moving together as we seek to follow our Lord. And these simple things that we do, they're the ways that we show the love of Christ in us. And so all we do as the people of God, it really goes back to Jesus' words when he told us the point of all of God's commands to us, right? And he said the point of all God's commands to us is first to love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind, and to love your neighbor as yourself. That's the point. And so today, let's be the people of God living together. Let's have the community we have together be that one thing that shows our friends and our families and our neighbors and all the people who don't know Jesus. Let's let our community together be the one thing that shows the world that Christ is with us. Amen. Let's stand.
And now, as a community of believers, let us confess our faith in one voice in the words of the Apostles' Creed, words upon the screen. I believe in God, Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. Third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven, sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and a life everlasting. Amen. And at this time, we will pass the baskets around for our collection.